And I have seen a light like the break of dawn, giving blind men sight and letting lame men walk. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song it will be. And out of the darkness we will rise and say, He is faithful.
Sing it out to the Lord.
For He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, and He is healing right now. He is joy and love and peace and life. He is faithful, and He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, and He is healing right now. He is hope and joy and love and peace and light. Oh, we thank You, God, for the love of the Lord. Bring freedom in this place, God. Come on, lift up your voices, lift up your hands to the Lord. God, we pray, God, freedom in this place today, Lord. We pray for a spirit of liberty in this place today, God. We just declare Your glory, God, to manifest itself in this place, Lord. Come on, sing it out to the Lord.
'Cause He is freedom, He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all our hope is in Him. He is freedom, and He is healing right now. He is hope and joy and love and peace and life.
God, we just pray all of those things over us this morning, Jesus. We pray for the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, God, the hope of the Lord, Jesus. We just fill this place right now, God. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, let's just lift up our voices right now. Father, we lift up our voices. We lift up our praise, God. God, we thank you, Jesus, for this freedom of the Lord in this place. We worship you, Jesus. Yes, God. We worship you, Jesus. Can we just all lift up our hands in this sanctuary this morning? And right now, I just want us to receive the freedom of the Lord right now. I just feel like God is just going to pour out his freedom right now in this place. And as we lift up our hands and we bow our hearts, we lift up our hearts to the Lord. I just feel right now God is just going to begin to pour out his freedom and liberty in this place. Father God, we call upon your name this morning. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that your freedom, God, and your liberty, God, would just begin to fill this sanctuary, Holy Spirit. God, your word says that you came to set the captives free. And Father God, Lord, the captivity of our hearts, God, we release to you now. And we pray the freedom of God would just begin to be poured out in this sanctuary. Right now, Father, we receive it this morning. God, I just pray right now, freedom from depression. God, freedom right now from discouragement. God, right now, we just release that, the freedom of fear right now. We just, God, we pray, release that, Father God, this morning. God, we release, God, the Lord, your spirit, your power in this place. We receive it now, Jesus. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but power of love and a sound mind, Father God. And we just pray that in the name of Jesus. God, let the peace of God that passes all understanding, God, Lord, let it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus this morning. Yes, Jesus. Whoever it is this morning, I just feel that God has you here this morning for a specific purpose. And he is calling you to come out and just, he wants to bring complete freedom to your life. And I just declare that over you this morning. God, we receive it, Jesus. Oh, yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, yes, Jesus, there is freedom. Receive it now. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, God. There is freedom. Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Come on, if you're tired and you are thirsty, if you're tired and you are thirsty, there is freedom. Receive it now, Lord. Tired and you thirsty, there is freedom. Yes, there is, oh God. Yes, there is. Freedom reigns in this place. We receive it now. Showers of mercy and grace. Sing it out to the Lord. Freedom. freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace fully on earth. And there is freedom.
There is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. Oh, there is freedom. There is freedom. There is
rest in your freedom. There's rest in your freedom. There's rest in your freedom. There's hope in your freedom. There's rest in your freedom. Thank you. this place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are. And cause your presence to fill our hearts. Holy Spirit. This place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are. Cause your presence to fall on our hearts. Holy Spirit. Have your way. Let heaven.
your name, show your power, and we'll be changed. Let heaven invade this place. Let heaven invade this place. Let heaven invade.
I think before I speak, Barb has something to share. She's like burning here.
Yes, Lord. We've been singing about the Lord invading this place. This place. But the Lord wants us to look beyond and know He is speaking of this place, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, everything we do, everything we say speaks of the Lord when He invades our place, when we surrender and allow Him to be totally in charge. When we were worshiping, that flow of anointing that was down the walkway a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, there was just a heavenly anointing that was flowing and flowing. And the Lord is reminding me that there are people here that hearts are just beating, and that is the Father God calling you, wanting you to renew or begin a relationship with Him. So if your heart is beating in your chest, He is trying to woo you. He has something for you, and that something is His love. His love. He wants to parent us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you send your Holy Spirit. You send the Word of God. You send the movement of the Spirit, and you send prophetic words and song. So, Lord, invade this place.
Yeah, and I confirm that the Lord is putting that on my heart as well, that it's not just this place. You know, we come to church and we think that it's, you know, about the gathering, but, you know, really it's about what's going on inside of each and every one of us. It's that personal, deep connection with the Father that will make this place come alive. But as we were singing, I really felt, and I shared with Nick, we're going to change the way we're singing it just a little bit. You know, in Ezekiel was commanded to speak to the bones. It was up to God to do the work, but Ezekiel declared the truth that those bones would live. And it says that when he did that, those bones came together and literally came back as individuals and people in an army with full bodies and ready to be mobilized for God. And go ahead, Dave, just put the last heaven and let heaven invade this place. I really feel like the Lord wants us to sing, heaven is invading this place. See, Worship is not just about getting through the service. It's not just about getting through the song list. It's about experiencing the one that we're worshiping. See, because if we were just singing the songs and never experiencing the one that we're singing the songs for, then it's like we're making noise, but there's no profit. Yes, there's spiritual warfare going on, all that, but this is about us coming into intimacy with the Father, coming into intimacy with the one that created us. He's drawing us as children, as sons and daughters like never before. And for us to miss an opportunity of drawing closer to Him is a tragedy. So I want us to just sing to our hearts and let heaven be declared that it's already there. See, all of God's inside of each and every one of us. We're never going to get any more of God than we have right now. That's a lie of the enemy that says you have to work to get more of God. No, all of God is inside of each and every one of us. All it's up to us is to walk in what's there, to live in what's already there. So heaven is in this place, and heaven is invading this place. It's coming in my life. It's coming in your life. We're experiencing it in a new dimension. And if you've got the strength, I'm just going to have you stand with me again, and let's just offer this proclamation, this prophetic word into the heavens, and let's just let God just do a work in us this morning. And let's experience that heaven that's already in us. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Heaven's invading this place. Heaven's invading this place.
Put your hand on your heart.
Heaven's invading this place. 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 Heaven's invading this
place. I see individuals that this week you're going to go into work this week and you're going to say, what is different? And then people who know you are going to say, what is different? And you're going to realize that heaven that's invaded you is now starting to just show in everything that you do, everything that you say. You're going to be that light. You're going to be that city set on a hill. I see mothers doing dishes, and all of a sudden just the presence of the Lord is going to come over you, and you're just going to be washed with His love, with His joy, and doing your daily chores is going to be a joy. Father, I thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, that we are being transformed because You're inside of us. Thank You, Lord. Right now I see that there's marriages that are being healed right now because heaven is coming down and invading their place. Heaven is coming down in those hearts, and He's setting attitudes and right thinking into the marriages. Thank You, Father, for that. Right now we receive that, Lord. We receive Your touch from heaven in our marriages. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Somebody has like a right hip issue. I believe right now heaven is invading that place right now, and you're receiving a touch, right? Maybe you feel a heat right now. I believe that God is moving right now in a supernatural way and touching your hip. If that's you, just move it around. Just receive that touch from heaven. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are experiencing right now like a heat and a warmth, and you're just wondering what it is. That's just God just coming in, and He is just touching you, touching your life. Just be ready and expect transformation to come. You just receive it. You don't have to go out and make something happen. You just walk in what God is doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that heaven is here. Heaven is here now. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to beg for it. Heaven is here, Lord. We receive that today. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
I see that there's going to be four people that are going to have an encounter with the Lord this week. Four of you are going to know the Lord in a deeper, different way. Three of you already know Him. But the Lord wants to renew and restore and build a fire in you like you have never experienced before. And one of you has been weak. That's the only word I can say, is weak with your relationship with the Lord. And the Lord is calling you forth and say, this week you will have an encounter with me. This week you will be in the presence of your God. This week, you will know me as your Lord and King. And mark that day. Mark that day, because your path changes from that moment on. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for strength for these people that these four people that the Lord has put on my heart and has shown me. Four of you are going to have an everlasting touch from your Father God. Thank you.
To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we
Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're with us. You're our abiding God. You're our abiding Father. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have chosen to take residence in these vessels of clay. You've given us life from heaven. Now, Lord, we just receive today, Lord, into our hearts, into our lives, everything that you want to do. Everything you want to do. We receive, God, your transformation, your transforming work, Lord, in every area of our life. We receive, Lord, your promises as truth and reality that they are. I just thank you for my brothers and sisters, God, that you're working in their lives, even when they can't see it before them, Lord. You're working in their lives. You're transforming them. You're making them into who you've created them to be. And Father, we just ask that you would just continue to protect their hearts and their minds. Continue to keep them, Lord, in a safe place, Lord, from the pressures of life, from the temptations of life, God, and keep them safe in your arms, in your abiding arms, your abiding presence. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. You're doing amazing things in our lives, and we just ask that you continue to do above and beyond all we can even ask or think. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Well, why don't you take a moment and shake someone's hand, give them a hug. Thank you, team. Boy, you are a friendly bunch. That's good, though. It's good to enjoy being around each other. Hi, Sylvia. Good morning. Well, praise the Lord. I guess I need to get like a clock, a time limit for you guys. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, both exits.
Okay. I wanted to let you know that Glenn and Lotta got a lot of apples last night. They were blessed. They were gleaning. And so they're at both exits, and they're Honeycrisp, aren't they? Yeah. People, don't go get them now, but on your way out... What's that? Oh, they have to be washed. Awesome. Okay. So that's free to take. Yeah. However many you can hold, I guess, right? Did you guys didn't bring sacks or anything, right? Oh, you brought sacks? You guys thought of everything. Oh, great. Hey, Glenn, since you're standing up, will you come and pass out the transformed envelopes? Again, October 12th for men, 19th for women, and 26th for youth. We now have one envelope for all three. So, would the children please come up? Come on. Come on down. It's your time. Hey, bud, how are you doing? Good. Are you guys ready to go downstairs? Learn more about Jesus? You are? Well, Lord, we just pray a blessing upon your kids, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just let them receive today all that you have for them. Lord, we pray that their young hearts, God, would be able to grow to who you've called them to be. But, Lord, we pray that right now, Lord, where their hearts are at, where their spirits are at, Lord, you would use them, Lord, for your glory. Pray, God, that you would give them boldness and courage, God, to share with their friends and, Lord, to share at school and when they're playing, God, about you and your love for them. We just release them, Lord, in your plan and purposes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't get to really share this last week. But I just want to kind of give you an idea of why I had David share last week and Stephen sharing this week. It was about the first of the year. I was in the shower. That's usually where I get all my main messages from the Lord. It's like if I need a word, I go take a shower. No, I'm kidding, but you know. But I was in the shower, and the Lord's really been doing some different things with me personally in my life. And he had put on my heart to just, you know, not try to prepare messages. And, you know, you guys have seen that. I've actually walked up before with nothing, and God delivered right at the time I needed it. But he just wanted me to rely on him and let the Holy Spirit speak. And I think it was, you know, it wasn't boastful, but I was just thanking the Lord in the shower, saying, Lord, thank you, you know, for this experience, because it's been amazing, and it's a joy now, and I love it. And he says, well, it's going to change. It's like, oh, great, you know. And so he challenged me to do something else. But at the same time, he said, now, I want you to allow what I'm doing in you to happen in others. And so there's individuals that I've already asked and told them to be praying and preparing themselves to come and share with the congregation. Now, why is that important? Some would say, well, you know, you're the pastor, you should preach. Well, you're thinking old. You're thinking like, you know, church. And what we are is we're the body of Christ. And I've never shared this. I've shared with a few people. I've never shared this with the congregation. But, folks, I see a day where we gather together, and there's order, there's divine order. I mean, some people may come and look, well, it seems chaotic, but there will be a divine order by the Holy Spirit, but he may put on anyone's heart here to share that day. And they may not just come up and, you know, share just something. They may have a word from the Lord, and it'll be as if they're reading a page. And what we will hear will be just what we need as the body of Christ. And it's they're not going to be necessarily the so-called pastor or staff, because that's old thinking, folks. That is old thinking. We are the body of Christ. We are his vessels. See, every single one of us should be able to come, and the Bible even encourages in Corinthians, let this person speak and that person speak and this person sing and that person sing to each other so that we can hear the word of the Lord. How many want to be a part of something that's real? How many want to be part of something that isn't just structured to the place where we don't get to see everybody rise up to who they're called to be? Now, in this service, we're blessed. But the reason that God's doing this, I believe, is so that when we're out of here, we're fully equipped, ready to be used by him at any moment. At any moment. Yesterday, I was blessed with two young individuals who were coming, and they were sharing their faith. And most of you know Saturday morning who that is. They were trying to give me their pamphlet, and I said, no, thank you. I said, I've talked to many people from your persuasion many times. Actually, I had a lady come to my house for almost a year, and we sat down and we reasoned together over the scriptures, and she, you know, she loved the Lord, but she didn't see Jesus the way I saw Jesus. And so I was doing some work, and I told him, thanks, but no thanks. But I said, do this, seek the truth. And I just said a real quick statement, and the senior one of them, he's about 28, started cracking up his Bible. He wanted to share right away, and he shared a scripture. I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. And I started preaching to them. Literally, the anointing, my heart was beating out of my chest. And for about 10 minutes, I'm just telling them. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants to do. Not in a condemnation way. I was telling them, listen, you're sons of God. You're children of God. You don't need to be bound. You don't need to be all caught up in just what you do. You need to be who you are and let freedom come to your life. I said, the truth will make you free. I told them, nothing else. Seek truth. Don't believe everything you see. Don't believe everything you're told. If you guys hear something from me on a Sunday or something from another pastor or someone who's sharing and it doesn't set right with you, well, then you go look it up yourself. You make sure that what we said is truth. Because sometimes we make mistakes. We're not perfect. There's only one perfect. And it ain't me. As a matter of fact, there's no pastor anywhere. They are not the final authority. God is the final authority. His word is the final authority. We need to live by that. So with that, I'm going to have my son come up. Stephen, come on up. He is going to be sharing today. Yeah, praise the Lord. He's one of them that I really feel the Lord's going to be raising up in this day, in this hour. We've had some share, and more of you will be sharing. And it's not going to be just men. There will be women as they feel inspired by God, and I feel inspired. We're going to be a body of believers coming alive. And so I believe today the Lord has a word for us from Stephen. Father, I pray right now for Stephen. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just touch his heart. God, that you would just allow him to flow as you have created him to flow in you. Father, I pray that every distraction, every hindrance the enemy tried to bring, Lord, would just fall away right now, and just clarity would be set right before him, Lord, that he would be able to see and hear you right as if you were speaking right next to him. Lord, we pray right now that the anointing that would break the yoke, Lord, would rest upon him, God, and that many people, God, would come to the truth, Lord, and that truth would make them free. Bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. So I was talking to somebody last week, and they referred to me as the crying preacher. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully I can still speak if I am overtaken by emotion. So when my dad asked me to preach, it was a while back, and he was like, just let me know when you want to do it. And I'm like, I ain't never going to let you know. I don't want to go up there and do that. You're right. And so I told him there, I was like, you can just tell me when you want me to do it, and then I'll do it. So it was 2 weekends ago, right? That we were at Grandpa's 2 weekends ago. We had the fish fry. And he was like, all right, 2 weeks. For what? You're going to preach. Okay, I guess. So whatever. And so that was 2 weeks ago. And here we are 2 weeks later. I was talking to my friend Bob last weekend about this time in the morning. And I just want to pray for him and have him be saved. He's sitting in the fourth row back there. that was Pastor Dan. It was just a little inside joke. He's a good preacher, and I love him. If you could, let's just pray, because that's what's best. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. There goes the crying preacher. we just come to you right now, Father God, and we thank you for what you're going to do today, Father God. I thank you for what you're going to do through me, Lord, and I just offer up my mouth and my body and my spirit to you, Father God, and just use me for your will in your name. Amen. So, all started 23 years ago, and I'm not kidding, Barb. And I've told my story many times on Sunday morning, and I was born with a condition called cerebral palsy. I was never supposed to walk. I was never supposed to talk. It's all Lynette's fault. I was supposed to be a paraplegic. Is that right? Is that the right term? For my entire life. If I lived. Somewhere down the road, whatever. I was in the hospital for a few months, and I was just an infant, so I don't remember any of this except for the marks that I have on my body to prove that it really did happen. And the Lord healed me for a reason. Thus, I'm here today. And, you know, we're all marked with glory, and we're all on this earth for a greater purpose than what we see, for a greater purpose than what our pastor sees in us. God has placed us all in the position that he has us for a reason. And we can either choose to take that path or go our own path. And when I was younger, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. That's cool. That's all good. And so that's what I was going to do, is I was going to be a preacher. Well, I grew up and became a teenager, and then I had it all figured out, because all teenagers have everything figured out. And so I kind of fell away from the Lord. Not really. I mean, I still came to church. I sat in the back row. I did my thing, and I left and whatever. And somewhere in high school, after high school, he pulled me back in, and I completed interns and whatnot. Shortly after I graduated high school, I got my job with Pepsi. And I've worked at Pepsi for going on 7 years. And I moved up really quick to where I'm at right now. I worked really hard. And my dad, who's sitting in the back, he always taught me to work hard. And that was a big point he drove home, was just work hard, work hard, work hard. Every Saturday, we'd be out in the yard. We'd be working, 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 working. That's just what we did. So when I got a big boy job, as I call it, my little boy job was bagging groceries at Safeway. And so when I got my big boy job, I busted my butt, and I worked hard. And, you know, whenever there was something extra to do, that's what I did. I got asked to be put on a truck, or they asked me if I wanted to go on a truck, and I said sure, with the idea that I would get my CDL to drive the semi. So I went and got my CDL and had it in like 2 months. So I'm like, man, I'm moving up pretty quick. Maybe this is good. Maybe this is what I need to do. Maybe this is the road God wants me to take. So I start pursuing this road. I start pursuing it, and I'm pushing. After I got my CDL, like a month and a half later, I got thrown down in the lower valley on a route, because anyways, you guys don't need to know the circumstances. I was down there for a year and a half. I came up to Yakima. I kind of floated around for a couple months, and then I got put on the route that I'm on now, and I've been on there for 2 years. Well, in that 2 years, there's been a lot of movement at my work, and I wasn't the one selected for that movement. And I was irritated at this point. I'm like, God, this is where you want me. This is what you want me to do. Why am I not moving up? So I get frustrated and I go apply for another job. I'm done with Pepsi. So I go apply for another job. And it was at Hanford Patrol. I'm going to get this job. My dad's a cop. I've got an in. He calls his buddy. It's solid. It's done. I don't get the job. And now I'm ticked. I'm like furious. I'm irritated. I want to quit Pepsi. I want to throw in the towel and just, I'm done. I can go get a job making the same amount somewhere else, driving a truck from point A to point B, and that's that. Sum it all up. Three weeks ago, something like that. I was standing right here, and I'd come off the drums for some reason. I don't know why. The Lord just impressed me to come off the drums, and I was standing right there, and I was worshiping, and my dad was standing right here, and my mom walked up to me, and she was like, you're at a point where you're going to either take the career road or you're going to take the Lord's road. The Lord's going to bless you either way. However, he'll bless you if you take your career road, but he will abundantly bless you if you take his road. And how many of us know that his road is scary? It is super scary because you can't see what's down that road. If you take your road, you can kind of navigate, and there's a lot of street lights, and there's a lot of big signs, and you can pretty much plan out your own path and where you're going to go. And everybody can make their own road and get to where they want to be in life, and that's all dandy and hunky-dory, but God has a purpose for each one of us. And when we choose his road, the road's going to be hard, the road's going to be dark at times, the road's going to have a lot of branches in it. It's going to have a lot of obstacles that we have to overcome. And it's not always fun. You know, the road to destruction is wide, but the path to righteousness is narrow. How many of you are doing the 90-day Bible reading challenge? Quite a bit. Allison? we'll just do a little commercial break. And if you're not doing the 90-day challenge, I encourage you to pick up a piece of paper. Don't play catch-up. Just start where we're at today and start reading. Because even if you don't read through the whole Testament or whatever, if you're just getting in your Word and you're reading and we're moving through as a congregation, you're going to see something change in your heart and in your spirit. End commercial break. So where was I? Oh, yes, the path. Anyways, and it can be really scary at times. So I'm standing here, and I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I'll take your road, God, whatever, that's fine. So I'm a little irritated and agitated, and not at God necessarily, but I'm ready to just lay it all out on the line. I'm done playing Stephen's game, and I'm ready to step into God's court, if you will. And so the next day, you know, I felt good after I made the decision. I'm like, all right, God, let's do this. Let's go. So I get to work, and some movement has happened, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, this is not cool. Somebody got promoted, and then a guy that was lower on the seniority chain got promoted in front of me, and I am ticked. I'm like, ah! And God was like, don't you remember what you said yesterday? And I was so mad. I got in my truck, and Monday mornings I take off to Highland, and I'm having a serious conversation with the Lord. And if you saw me in my truck, you'd be like, man, that dude is nuts. He's crazy. He shouldn't be driving a semi and whatever. And so I'm mad, and I'm having this conversation, and he's like, don't you remember? Don't you remember? So I'm like, all right. So I rest in that, and go figure, Monday is when we start our 90-day Bible reading challenge. So I want everybody to turn to chapter 4 of Matthew. And we're going to go to verse 18. And it says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. So back in the day, your net was your livelihood. Your net was your security. Your net was everything to you when you were a fisherman, because that's how they gained their money. That's how they lived. That's how they fed their family, whatever. That meant everything to them. And it says, Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me." Okay, so here's this dude standing on the shore, and it goes, "Hey, you, let's go." "Who are you? Why are you calling me?" I mean, can you just picture it in your mind? There's these two dudes in a boat, and he goes, "Come, follow me." Well, who is this guy to call us out of our boat and go, "Come, follow me"? They don't know who he is. It says he was walking along, and he called to them. And immediately they dropped their nets, left their boat, and followed him. Immediately. It doesn't say that there was any questioning, anything. It says, and they left their nets at once and followed him. They dropped their livelihood. They dropped everything that meant something to them. After that, in verse 21, it says, a little farther up the shore, he saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. So he calls them out, and they're following him. They're going along this road, and they don't know who he is. I mean, yeah, John the Baptist had come and prepared the way and laid it out for Jesus' coming, and they kind of knew what was going to happen, but they don't know who this guy is at this point, but at least to me, that's how I read it. So we're going to jump over to verse 14. Chapter 14, sorry. So anyways, I'm standing here and I'm like, okay, take this road, go the next day to work, and I get lambasted with this natural blow with two guys getting promoted in front of me. So I'm ticked, irritated, frustrated, whatever. And so I'm praying, and I call my wife, and she's upset, and I hadn't told her any of this that I didn't tell her I had this come to Jesus meeting with Jesus the day before. So she's frustrated, not frustrated at me, but just frustrated with the whole thing. So not only is she frustrated now, I'm frustrated, and now my whole family's life is riding on this because I have thrown all my chips into this basket at that point until the day before. And so I'm like, well, all right, well, I don't know. Sarah's irritated. I go home. She's still irritated. I'm still irritated. She's like, I just don't understand. I'm like, yeah, you don't work there, so just figure how I feel when I walk through the door. And we were talking, and I went to coffee with you on Friday before, right? And I just like laid it all out on the line and how irritated I was with work and frustrated, and I wasn't seeing God's hand move. And then to have him do that on Sunday, and then Monday I catch a blow. I'm like, man, God, this isn't cool. I thought you cared. Like, I thought it meant something. I meant something to you. So why do I have to go through this today? Right after I make the decision to take the narrow path. But remember what I said. The narrow path is narrow. And it's hard, and there's a lot of branches, and there's a lot of gunk you got to step over, and seasons you have to weather. So chapter 14, we're going to go to 24, and we'll just, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Disciples got in a boat, we're heading across the lake. Jesus had went up to the hill to pray, blah, blah, blah. We're caught up. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away. Hold on just a second. Commercial break. Anyways. All right. So, it says, 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves about 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." We get into these storms of life on this road, and it just feels like crud. We just want to throw in the towel and say, give it up, and that's what we want to do, because that's what the flesh man wants to do. It's easy to throw in the towel and take our own road, but the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am here." Even in the middle of a storm, even when everything is crumbling around you that you thought was important, not that's really important, but what you thought was important is crumbling around you, Jesus said, "Fear not, for I'm here." So on Monday, as I'm driving to Highland, and he says, "Don't you remember what you said? I'm still with you. I still got your back. Whatever it is, it's all right." And so I'm resting in that, and I'm like, I just come to this point of being content. And my dad and I had talked about that. And if he has me do nothing else in this life at all, and I drive a truck for the rest of my life at Semi on the same route, delivering to Highland High School for the rest of my life, and I've done one thing for him, been obedient, that's okay with me. Sometimes that's hard for us to get into that place of content, being content in him. Because our spirit man wants to achieve, our natural man wants to achieve things and look good in this world. You know, we want to be the big boss. We want to have the great career. We want to drive the nice fancy car. But coming to a place where no matter what happens, as long as you have Jesus, everything else is okay. Don't lay your treasures here on earth, but put your treasures up in heaven. That's Stephen's paraphrase. So anyways, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." It's super interesting. And I've heard a lot of people preach about this sermon. It says, "Tell me to come to you." Not, "Can I come to you?" or "Let me get out of the boat." It says, "Tell me to come to you." God has called us all to something. And it says after that, that Jesus answered, "Yes, come." God has called us all to something great. We, like that song said that Nicholas wrote, we have all been marked by glory. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter what storm you're weathering right now, whether your marriage is in shambles, whether your job is in shambles, whether you've just got fired, whether you've lost a loved one, God is with us, and he's all called us to something great. We are all marked with glory. And so it says, "Yes, come." And so Peter went over the side of the boat. And what does that boat represent? Especially when you're in the middle of a raging sea. That represents your security. That represents getting to the other side. It represents safety. It represents being comfortable. Because that boat is, I mean, you step out on the water and you're in the midst of it all then. And how many of us could say, "I'm willing to step out on the water"? You have to have a ton of faith. So Peter went out over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Hold on just one second. And he began to sink. So when we focus, when our focal point is not on the Lord and it's on our circumstances, we lose our footing. He was on water. He was walking out what God had called him to do. He was standing on water. You go stand anywhere on water and I want to see you do it. I mean, he was standing on the water. He was doing what God had said, yes, come, to do. And then he started to pay attention to his circumstances. And he saw the guy getting promoted in front of him. He saw that his marriage was failing. He saw that he had just got fired and he doesn't know how he's going to feed his family the next day. But he was looking at his circumstances around him. He wasn't focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and on the one who really matters. Okay? But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink, crying out, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. In chapter 10, verse 39, as you can tell, there's a lot of stuff in Matthew. I wonder why. It's the 90-day Bible reading challenge. Anyways, 10, verse 39, and it says, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." And I want to read it in the Message, because the Message really, it just gives a whole different perspective on it. And it says, "If your first concern is to look at yourself, you will never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and you look to me, you will find yourself." And that's in the Message. So when we forget everything and we say, "I'm not going to worry about this, I'm not going to worry about what's going on around me, I'm not going to worry about how much money's in my bank account, I'm not going to worry about the promotion that I want in the natural, I'm going to focus on you," is when we lose ourselves and then we find him. And that's where he wants us, folks. He wants us in him. He wants us to cling to him. He wants us to forget everything else. In Philippians 3:8, I'll give you guys a chance to turn there. I have everything written down and I was just going to like read it and whatever, but that's probably not very nice. Y'all there? Okay, good. Philippians 3:8. "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness. I no longer count on my own strength. I no longer count on my own knowledge." This is Stephen's paraphrase. "I no longer count on myself, but I count on him. Through obeying the law, rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith." I could have chosen right here to take the other road. Gone to work the next day, been like, "Hey, why didn't I get that? I want that route. I want to be promoted. I want to do that." I could have. I wouldn't have been obeying what the Lord wanted for me. I wouldn't have said, "Okay, God, you know, my wife and I, we wouldn't be obeying the call of God that he has for us, because that narrow road is where he wants us." And yes, it's hard, and at first it may be a real struggle. But what is the boat? What is your boat that God is calling you out of today? What is it? What is that comfort zone that he doesn't want you to be comfortable in anymore? Because he's all calling us to glory. He's calling us all to greatness. But we have to take the step of faith. We have to be obedient. We have to say, "Okay, God, I'll do it." And we have to literally make the move. We literally have to say, "All right, I'm going to take that road. I'm going to do it." And it may be super hard. It was super hard for me, because in the natural, I wanted to be this great guy. I wanted to make the money and have the career and all these other things in the natural. But my spirit, man, your spirit is so knitted with Christ's spirit. It's inseparable. It says that when you were formed in the womb, you were knitted into your mother's womb. His spirit was knitted, literally and I don't knit, but but it's woven together. I mean, it's tied in there. His spirit is so tied in with you, and your spirit longs to be with him. And we have the ability to say, okay, God, let's do this together. So whatever your boat is, wherever you may be in your walk, and that can mean so many different things to everyone. It could be not smoking. It could be talking to somebody at work. It could be taking your family and praying for 15 minutes in the morning before everybody disperses. You know, you're being vulnerable starts with you and your family. It's easy to come and stand up here on a Sunday morning when I'm playing the drums and give a word and whatever. That's easy for me because I've done it so many times. But to come up here and preach, man, that puts me in a really vulnerable position because I haven't done it before. I'm uncomfortable. I'm being stretched. I'm being taken to spots where I haven't gone before. And yeah, it's uncomfortable, both in the spiritual man and in the natural man, because the Lord challenged me right before I came in on something that I thought had no significance. And he was like, no, you need to be 100% relying on me, obedient to me. Whatever that means, then okay. And I see now, because I've come through it, not the whole thing, I'm just talking about preaching. But what is that boat? What is he calling you out of? Maybe you've never stepped out of any boat before and you've never made a commitment to the Lord, and he wants you to take that step of faith today, because it is a big step of faith, turning your life over to him and saying, okay, God, what's the next step? That's a huge commitment, and it's hard. And your boat can mean a whole lot of other things, and it's frustrating, and it's hard. But I encourage you to search your heart and say, okay, God, what is the boat that you want me to step out of? What is the net that you want me to leave behind? Whatever that may be. So we're just going to pray, and Lynette, if you want to, or Nick, wherever Nick is. Nick, you want to go play a ditty? Yeah, you? Ditties are great. Do you want to talk anymore? You are all called to greatness. You are all called to walk in something new today, being the first day of fall. Seasons come and seasons go. The Lord remains the same. He's always here. He's always ready for you to take the step of faith, whatever that may be, in your life, in your marriage, in your job, whatever addiction that may be that he's wanting you to give up, your comfort zone, if you will. I don't know, it's different to everybody. But I want us to sing that song of Nick's. And I want you to just search your heart and say, okay, God, I'm ready. If you are, but I encourage you, take that step of faith. Step out of the boat. Step out of your comfort zone, because in that is where he's going to meet you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift my hands to you right now, Father God. God, I thank you for your faithfulness, Father God. God, I thank you for your love, Lord, and I pray that you will just help us search our hearts, each and every one of us, Father God, for you to reveal to us what our comfort zone may be, Father God, what boat you want us to step out of, Father.
this place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are. Cause your presence to fill up our hearts. Holy Spirit.
Have a response available. And so I believe that if you're really sensing Holy Spirit is asking you to get out of a boat, and you know, it's like, you know that it's immediate. You know, all of us have things that we know God's calling us to, and we're working through them. But I'm talking about something that when you heard this message, say, wow, I really need to respond to that. I want to give you an opportunity at the end when we close here to come up. Myself, Stephen will pray. Others will pray with you for that narrow path that you're ready to take, that you'll have the strength, the courage, the grace to walk through it. So praise God. That's a message from the heart of the Father, that we can trust Him with our lives, that we can yield everything over. You guys know about that. Yield everything over to Him. Say, Lord, my life is in Your hands, and I step out of the boat. I give it all to You. I go into the impossible, and I walk on that supernatural water that You want me to go into. If that's you, I encourage you, as Nick plays a little bit longer. Other than that, there will be also other people up here that would pray with you if you need prayer for healing, whether emotional, physical. And one more final thing. If anybody had that right hip that was touched, please come up and share that with me. Or if you want to share sometime with the congregation, that's awesome. But believe that God supernaturally touched many individuals here today, and we're just thanking the Lord. Praise God. So come on up if you're ready to get out of the boat.
The one.